Jeannie Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Michael Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle. Today is November 10th, 2017, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast today. I'm joined by Craig Ruffalo, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle. Hello, Craig.
Hey, Mike. Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Veterans Day.
Yeah, same to you. And all you. Those that have served our country.
Absolutely. They do a job that's tough.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Very tough job. Well, hey, guess what? This weekend.
Yeah.
Big game. College football.
Oh, yeah.
Miami, Notre Dame.
Wow. For the first time in probably 15 years or more that these two teams have been relevant at the same time back in the 80s. I remember those games well.
Yeah.
Lou Holtz, Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's different now. I'm going to go with because our predecessor, he went to USC and didn't really have fond memories of Notre Dame when he played back in the 70s. I'm going to go with Miami on this one.
You're going to be the Canes guy, huh?
Well, you know what?
I think I'm going to have to go with the Midwest. I think we're going to have Notre Dame
by
three.
Fine.
We should probably have a little wager on this.
Yeah, you're going to get Ray calling you here.
Yeah, well, you know. He doesn't need to hear this.
Yeah, that's exactly. He's retired.
There you go.
Welcome everybody to our podcast. Today we're going to cover sugar and corn sweeteners. We're going to do a WASD recap for you guys. So we came out with our WASD recap sweet beat yesterday.
We did.
Let's talk a little bit about that. So let's talk about the sugar side. What did they do, Greg?
Well, I think the headline was, this is play with the numbers and see what comes out of it.
Yeah.
You know, USDA has tended to kind of fiddle with things to try to make that stocks to use ratio fit the realm of reality that they want. And when you adjust demand down like they did yesterday for the current crop, let's really kind of focus on that. They had to make some other adjustment to the supply side. So their obvious initial responses were going to lower imports. So they almost did a one for one reduction in imports. And of course, the first country of origin that gets nailed is Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, they gave their rationale that there's a little less production potential out of Mexico and or a higher use of sugar in the domestic market. I don't know if I buy that yet, but certainly you're still staring at 14% stocks to use ratio, which is a pretty healthy stocks to use ratio. You know,
let's talk about what they did with sugar demand, both for this last crop and the one coming up. I mean, 3.5% increase is what we were looking at year on year for the previous crop. They obviously, in their recent WASD adjustments, lowered that to where you have just over 2% increased year on year. What are your thoughts on sugar demand out there?
I think USDA uses demand figures as a catch-all to try to justify why they're going to authorize specific supply, whether that be through domestic allocations or TRQ adjustments or Mexico import quotas. And, you know, obviously some of the commentary that they may be getting from the people they speak with are surrounding reformulations or new product introductions that are sugar laden versus high fructose. And as a result, they tend to get a little bit over their skis on their food use deliveries. And I don't want to sit here and bash USDA. This isn't what the intent of the podcast is for. We don't do that. But what you're trying to suggest is, look, 3% is about double normal growth, right? So is that really realistic? I don't think so. Yep. 2% that they're forecasting for this crop, that may be a bit brisk as well.
I mean, you know, we still hear about shifting from high fructose to sugar. So a lot of fast food chains in particular have announced doing that with their different products. But on the flip side of that, sugar reduction. So there's still a lot of talk about that.
Yeah.
Let's shift over to corn. What did they do with corn?
Well, you were in the air yesterday flying back. The whole marketplace decided to take a collective what? As far as USDA's yields for corn. I don't think anybody out there, any analyst that was really being quoted was anywhere near 175 bushels an acre. I don't think anybody was anticipating that. And the marketplace, you know, adjusted accordingly. I don't think we've had the full effect of 175 bushel an acre yield yet in the market, but we hit a contract low for December of just over $3.40 a bushel. So we obviously have seen that the trade recognizes that this was an unforeseen element to the marketplace. You know, I think those that have been sitting back waiting for an opportunity to do some forward covering on corn, the expectation was to perhaps have another round of downward draft before we start to watch it inch up. I think we got it. I think we're here. I don't know that we're going to see another one of these in the next 30 days that would create any further downward draft in the price of corn.
Got it. Hey, so a couple days ago, something came in the news. I mean, Farm Bill's coming up for renegotiation in 2018.
Yeah.
The beet industry, one of the big things, the beet industry is trying to get the exempt on labeling with their GMO beet seeds, saying that the proteins aren't traceable in the finished refined sugar and they should become exempt. But one of the things that, I mean, you're very close to the Farm Bill and have been for years. Somebody introduced a potential sugar bill that could affect the sugar title. What's your thoughts on the bill that is being proposed?
Yeah, the sugar modernization bill.
Yep.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. It's a bipartisan bill, or at least it's being claimed to be. You've got Republicans and Democrats. It's called the Fox-Davis Act. Basically, Virginia Fox, a Republican in North Carolina, is co-signing this with a Democrat out of Illinois, Danny Davis, in the House. And then you have a member from New Hampshire and Pennsylvania in the Senate offering a similar bill to basically reformulate the sugar policy. It's eliminating supply constraints is really what it boils down to, Mike, from what I can understand. The text hasn't been released to the public yet, so we don't have the details, and the devil is always in the details of all these bills. But the general rule is that they feel if they eliminate the supply constraints, whether it's from domestic allocations or tariff rate quotas, that you offer up the potential for price to decline. And if you eliminate the loan program, the non-recourse portion of that, which basically is setting the floor for raw sugar and refined sugar, you again would alleviate the quote unquote supported prices that the using community has been after for decades now. I don't know. I mean, you know, obviously the users would love to see some change, whether they would get all this or not. I don't know. What's your feeling on the way that the Farm Bill is being attacked? Do you think that the Farm Bill actually has a chance to be modified and see some of these changes?
Boy, I tell you, when we were at the ASA, one of the big things was as long as the sugar title is a part of the Farm Bill, they're obviously going to have a little better opportunity of success. As we saw for the last two times that they've gone up for renewal, they've been successful. So I think
don't bet against sugar is the catchphrase. I mean,
it's going to be tough, but both sides are going to have their opportunity. And I think to your point, until they introduce what the actual language is in the bill, it's hard for us to comment either way on what might happen and what's going to happen. But one thing's for sure, it'll be interesting.
Well, there's no lack of news that seems to be in this marketplace as far as sugar goes. But what is your sense right now on the commercial side, Mike? Are you seeing much in the way of negotiations? You know, we're in the harvest. Beet guys have kind of been quiet. You know, we're talking about this whole idea on the cane sector with some of this demand for imports and how Mexico. What are you seeing much activity?
No, not much. I think that the beet industry is well covered for 2018. They had to move in inventories and got aggressive, as we saw. Prices have gone up on the beet side.
Where are prices right now, roughly?
I would say that if you're looking to book next year, 33 to 35 FOB bulk basis would be the offers out there. I think just because of the coverage that's there and uncertainty of how each co-op will end up as far as their production.
Yeah.
I think the market is very quiet and, again, it's well covered. And
refiners, similar concept, not maybe as well covered, but yet sitting back kind of waiting and seeing on the market conditions.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you look at the number 16, it's been relatively flat as of late.
I wasn't going to catch you there, but I might have to
you
say
you just
that.
Did.
Yeah, I did.
I think until Mexico's crop starts coming in, their imports come into the United States, I don't think we'll see too much in the way of a downside to the number 16. As we've said, with the amended suspension agreement, 2675 to 2750 is really a soft floor range for that. So
we're kind of right there then. There's not a whole lot of downside is what I'm hearing on the number 16 mark.
No, I agree.
We're still hearing some tightness right now, just as far as transportation, deliveries, access to raws on the cane side. So there's not a lot of incentive to go lower right now.
No, I agree. I don't see any of the market players sitting there saying, you know what, I need to come back in and be a little more aggressive
on
my
19
values.
Has gotten extremely quiet.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you, that's exactly right. I think we had a little bit of activity, a flurry, if you will, and then all of a sudden nothing, and it's gone pretty dead quiet since.
Excellent. Well, I think that covers it.
Yeah, I think we got it, man.
I think next week I will win my bet and the
Cane. Oh, I don't know. Beer's on me if Miami wins. Beer's on you. And I'm not dumping them on you, but actually you pay for them if Notre Dame wins.
Well, if Notre Dame loses, you have to wear that beer costume you wear at Halloween.
God. I might have to find out where that is.
Well, it sounds like you had a good Halloween.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, until next week, everybody, live with an attitude of gratitude, as we always say
there
around
we
here.
Are.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend. Happy Veterans Day.
Take care.
That concludes this podcast episode. For more information, visit McKinney-Flavelle.com. Also visit us on LinkedIn for the latest industry news, updates, and intelligence.